Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Beauty for Ashes with your host, Prophet Kyle T. Miller.
He gives beauty for ashes, strength for fear, gladness for mourning, peace for
good evening and welcome to Beauty for Ashes. I'm your host, Prophet Kyle Miller. The Bible says in Isaiah 61:3 that the Lord Jesus will give us beauty for ashes, an oil of joy for mourning, and a garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. So how are you guys doing tonight? I hope you're doing fine. I'm looking forward to spending some time with you. Over the next month or longer, I'm going to be ministering and teaching on deliverance. And I'll get into this whole thing by explaining why I'm back with this teaching. And I say back because I used to teach a lot on deliverance. I used to minister a lot in the area of deliverance. You know, as with most ministers, you learn new truths, you start teaching other things, and sometimes you get away from the foundational truths. But I do believe that God has given all of us a ministry. And there are particular doctrines, although we should teach the full counsel of God, I do believe that there are particular doctrines that God does give certain ministers to concentrate over or concentrate on more than others. You know, like, for instance, if I mention faith, you know, you probably would immediately start thinking about Kenneth Hagin, Kenneth Copeland, maybe Dr. Fred Price, Jesse Duplantis, et cetera, et cetera. If you mention healing, you may immediately begin to think about Benny Hinn, you know, Catherine Kuhlman, ministers of that nature. So although God calls all of us to teach the full counsel, there's typically particular doctrines that God causes us to concentrate on more than others. And so I'm going to ask you, if you would, to turn in your Bibles to Mark chapter 1, starting at verse 23. If you don't have your Bible, you can just listen in. I would ask you, though, if you have a pencil and paper or a pencil and or a pen and paper, I'm asking if you would just make notes, jot down notes of what I'm sharing tonight, because you're probably going to go back and look at some of this stuff and study it. So deliverance, and basically this teaching tonight is how to identify the enemy, how to identify the enemy, how to identify the enemy. And so that's what I basically be talking about because, you know, there are a lot of people and they are oppressed, whether you want to say oppressed, depressed, suppressed, possessed. Well, actually, Christians cannot be possessed because possession actually means ownership. And if you've been blood bought by the Lord Jesus Christ, meaning that you've received Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you cannot be possessed by Satan. You know, the scripture talks about how we're spirit, soul, and body, and that the spirit of man is a candle of the Lord, and it searches all the inward parts of the belly. So at the point of salvation, when the scripture says all things are passed away, all things become new, that thing that becomes new is our spirit man. Our spirit man that was once dead, the scripture says that I was alive to Christ, but then sin revived and I died. You know, so basically what that means is that we come into this earth with our spirit man alive. Somewhere along the way we commit sin. I don't know what age that is. I don't think anybody does, really. But at some particular age of accountability, we commit sin, and then we're on a journey to reclaim our spirits, and that's what happens with the whole born-again experience. When you receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, the old man, you know, has passed away, all things become new. That's the spirit man. So we have the spirit. That's the real us. Then we have the soul. The scripture talks about the soul. The soul is basically our mind, our will, and our emotions. And the soul is one of the main places where people can suffer demonic oppression, you know, in the soul there. Either our mind, our thoughts, we have unclean thoughts, we have bad thoughts, we have wrong thoughts. We have thoughts of fear, even our will, you know, where basically there's different sins that we continually commit that it's almost a compulsion. It's like we can't stop doing it. Someone can't stop doing it. For instance, if someone is chemically dependent, someone's on drugs, you know, they try as hard as they can to get delivered from drugs, but in their will, it's like there's a compulsion. It's literally like something is driving them to do it. You know, it's interesting, you know, as people have consulted with serial killers, and particularly, you know, those who have been, you know, become saved and given their hearts to the Lord, a lot of times you'll hear them say things like when they were doing these murders or when they were killing people, they felt like a voice told them to do it, or they felt a compulsion to kill people. That's demonic oppression. That's something in someone's will. So it's the mind, you know, our thoughts, our will, and then it's our emotions. You know, demons can take control of our emotions. You know, for instance, somebody is dealing with depression. That's a demon that is taking control of somebody's emotions. Somebody is manic depression. They have manic depression. That's a demon that's taking control of their emotions. Somebody is, you know, ADHD, or you know, or somebody has ADD, or someone is dealing with anger issues. You know, they find themselves doing fine, but the littlest thing sets them off, and then they're mad, and they can't control their emotions, and then they do stupid things, and then afterwards they feel repentant, and they feel sorry about it. That would be, those are demons. Those are all signs that somebody or you may actually be demonically oppressed or be dealing with some type of demonic spirit. And so I'll be talking about that in some of the later teachings, on how do we identify if we may be demonized, and so I'll be talking about that. But I want to start out first in Mark chapter 1, and let me say this just to kind of set the whole scene, because I think this is something that we really really need to understand when we consider and we think about the issue of deliverance. It's very interesting, but Jesus was really the first person to kick off deliverance ministry. You know, we think about all of the other major things, major miracles, supernatural expressions that happened in the Bible, and we see examples of those with all of the prophets. You know, we see examples of healing with the prophets, you know, the prophets of the Old Testament. We see, you know, miracles being made manifest through the prophets in the Old Testament. We see signs, we see wonders. You know, wow, I mean, probably one of the greatest signs and wonders was there's quite a few of them, but that I just think of immediately is the children of Israel. You know, God comes and literally parts the Red Sea, sucks up all the water, the, you know, 2.5 million Israelites or more walk across the Red Sea, complete dry land, and as soon as they get across the other side, and the Egyptians come after them, God, you know, pulls the water back out, and the river, you know, or the sea is actually filled with water again. So I mean, just tremendous signs and wonders. Or when, we think about Joshua and the children of Israel, and they were fighting their enemies, and they had to have all of their enemies slain before sundown. So God held the sun, you know, until Joshua was able to slay all of his enemies. You know, so, I mean, we have tons of issues, of examples, I should say, of signs and wonders. But one sign and wonder that distinctly set Jesus apart from all the other prophets is deliverance. I'm going to say that again. One distinctive sign and wonder that separated Jesus from all the other prophets was deliverance. Because prior to when Jesus came on the scene, we don't see any examples of any other prophets casting out demons. As a matter of fact, you know, that's what set him apart, and that's why the disciples and other people marveled, because they said, oh my God, even the demons are submissive to him. You know, that set Jesus apart from all the other prophets. You know, so when people say, you know, Jesus was just a prophet or Jesus was one of the prophets, no. Jesus separated himself in many different ways. The most major way that he separated himself is that Jesus was Son of Man, but he was also Son of God. The scripture says that before the very foundations of the earth, came into being, there was Jesus, and Jesus was with the Father. And then Jesus, when he is recollecting on Satan, he says, you know, me and the Father were one. I remember seeing Satan when he fell like lightning. And then we see a confirmation of that both in Revelations, and we also see it again in Ezekiel, where it talks about Satan fell to the ground, and Jesus talks about how Satan fell like lightning. So, you know, I want to start this out just in the very beginning. That's why we should never fear the devil, because the scripture says that Jesus saw Satan and he saw him fall like lightning. Hallelujah. And that's why the ministry of deliverance is so important, because when we begin to manifest deliverance, the scripture says that the finger of God is being made manifest, you know. And Jesus gave us the commission and the great commission. In Mark, he said, you know, you'll lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. You'll talk in new tongues, and you should lay hands on the sick and you will cast out demons, you know. And so that's one of the commissions that the Lord has given us, that we should cast out demons. So I don't know why is somebody calling me while I'm doing a teaching. Jesus. Boy, I guess the devil don't like this teaching. Hey, y'all, let's just stay in prayer. Now, I don't get a phone call all day, and now somebody calls me while I'm teaching on deliverance. Isn't that amazing? Praise the Lord. Y'all just stick with me, y'all. Okay. So that is the issue that separates Jesus' ministry from all the prophets, is that Jesus was the one who, when Jesus came on the scene, you know, then deliverance came on the scene. Amen. Amen. Praise God. And so I'm going to, if y'all give me a chance, I'm going to go ahead and close out these windows so that we don't have that problem again. Okay. So now I've taken care of that. So if you would turn in your Bibles to Mark 1, and we're going to start at verse 23. And this is talking about the ministry of Jesus. So just as that time there was in their synagogue a man who, now let me say this, I'm reading from the Amplified Bible. And just at that time as they were in the synagogue, and y'all, if y'all would, give me one more second. I'm going to start my recording. Boy. I'm going to go ahead and get set up, too, if y'all just hold on with me just one second. All right, so I'm going to ask if you would, turn your Bibles to Mark 1, starting at verse 23. Mark 1, starting at verse 23. And this is the ministry of Jesus. And like I said, you know, the ministry of Jesus is separated from all the other prophets because, you know, prior to Jesus, we saw with the prophets of the Old Testament, we saw healings, we saw signs and wonders, we saw miracles. But when Jesus came on the scene, what set him apart from the prophets, this is the first time that we see the ministry of deliverance. When Jesus comes on the scene, this is the first time that we see the ministry of deliverance. And so that's why we need to be very, very careful when we hear people and they say, oh, Jesus was just one of the prophets. Or, you know, Jesus was not God. You know, Jesus was, you know, he was the Son of God, but he wasn't God. You know, we have to be very, very careful about those doctrines because truly they're not true. You know, Jesus, when he was reflecting on Satan after the disciples had went out and they had gone two and two, and then Jesus sent the 70, and the disciples came back so excited because they had received the delegated authority from the Lord Jesus, and now they were excited because they had this anointing to cast out demons. And Jesus said, you know, don't just rejoice that you have the authority to cast out demons, but rejoice that your names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And then Jesus went on to say, you know, I was back with the Father in the beginning, and I saw Satan fall like lightning. Beheld Satan, and I saw him fall like lightning. And, you know, that's that when Jesus says that, that's a confirmation of both the scripture in Ezekiel and also in Revelations, where it says that that Satan literally fell from the sky. Satan was one of the ministering angels who was in charge of worship. And the scripture talks about in Ezekiel how Satan fell to the ground and he was cast out of heaven and he lost his authority. And so here it is now, fast forward to Mark chapter 1, starting verse 23, and this is talking about the ministry of Jesus. And just at this time, there was in their synagogue a man, and I'm reading from the Amplified Bible. In their synagogue, there was a man who was in the power of an unclean spirit. And now immediately he raised a deep and terrible cry from the depths of his throat, saying. Now, this is one of the things I want us to really look at when we look at the area of deliverance. The scripture talks about there was in there a synagogue, a man. Okay, so this was a God-fearing man. This was not a heathen. This was not a Satanist. This was somebody who was probably a Jew who was in covenant with God. And the scripture says that he was in church or in the synagogue. And the scripture says that he was in the power of an unclean spirit. So in other words, what the scripture is saying is that this man was demonized. Okay, so we see right here in the Gospels, someone who was a believer was demonized. Okay, so I know that's a big argument, you know, that people have. You know, Christians can't have a demon. Christians can't be demonized. Well, you know, if Jesus dealt with a man in the temple who believed in God and he was demonized, and Jesus did deliverance, why would we think that our ministry would be any different? You know, sometimes it takes a dummy to really get the scripture wrong. I mean, the scripture is so simple. It's so simple, and yet, you know, we allow the enemy to get us all twisted in doctrines, but it's clear right here, this man was a believer. He's in church. He's in church, right? He's not at a club. He's not at a party. He's not at a prostitute's house. This is a man in church, demonized. And it said, just at the time as they were in the synagogue, a man who was in the power of an unclean spirit, and now immediately he raised a deep and terrible cry from the depths of his throat, saying. So what this scripture is about to say is that the spirit is speaking. This is not the man speaking, but the spirit that's speaking within him. And this is one of the things that you'll realize if you ever start dealing with deliverance, or if you've ever been demonized, or if you've ever had the opportunity to view a deliverance, is that oftentimes the spirits will speak. You know, I've done deliverance with people, you know, and demons begin to manifest. You know, as a matter of fact, I was in a deliverance on Sunday, and a woman she was demonized. She had actually been in the occult, you know. And she was demonized. And we began to go through deliverance. And the spirit spoke out and said, I'm not leaving. She's mine. I'm like, okay, well, I knew that wasn't the woman talking. That was the spirit, you know. So these demons, they oftentimes have personalities. They have their own voices. And sometimes they'll speak. And that was what was going on right here as Jesus was in the synagogue. This demonic spirit was speaking. And so The spirit speaks and continues on in verse 24. What have you to do with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God. So this is really interesting. You know, at this point in time, the disciples were still trying to figure out who Jesus was, and most of the Jews who were the believers at that time, they did not even recognize or accept that Jesus was the Son of God. And yet here is this demon who immediately knew who Jesus was, you know. And that's the other thing I want you to understand is that demons are spiritual. So they know things by the Spirit. So if you're of the Spirit, you know, these demonic spirits know you by the Spirit. Amen? And so he says, what have you to do with us, Jesus Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God. And Jesus rebuked him, saying, hush up. Be muzzled, gagged, and come out of him. And the unclean spirit, throwing the man into convulsions and screeching with a loud voice, came out of him. verse 27. And they were all so amazed and almost terrified that they kept questioning and demanding one of another, saying, "What is this? What new, fresh teaching? With authority, he gives orders even to unclean spirits. He gives orders even to the unclean spirits, and they obey him." So Jesus had an authority over demonic spirits, and this is something that we had not seen prior to the ministry of Jesus. So Jesus really, really, really set a pattern then. Okay, and so now I want to skip down, if you would. I'm still in Mark, and I want to go down to verse 34. And it goes on to say in Mark 1:34, and it says, "And he cured many," and that's Jesus, "and he cured many who were afflicted with various diseases, and he drove out many demons, but would not allow the demons to talk because they knew him intuitively." Okay, so the scripture talks about the demons knew Jesus, you know. The demons knew Jesus. Well, how did the demons know Jesus? Because Jesus had been with the Father before the very foundations of the world. You know, when Satan was cast out of heaven, Jesus was there. That's why the scripture says, you know, "Beheld, I saw Satan fall like lightning." You know, so the spirits, they knew Jesus. They knew Jesus even at this time when the disciples and the Jews were still trying to figure out who Jesus was. And so that's very, very important. So in this teaching, I'm going to use several different terms. You know, the scripture talks about demons. Sometimes they refer to them as unclean spirits, evil spirits, you know, kinds of spirits. But the thing that I want you to understand is this. Whenever Jesus did deliverance, Jesus always spelt to the spirit in the man, not to the person. Jesus dealt with the spirit in the man, not the person. Okay. And that's something that's very, very important. It's something very important that I want to concentrate on. Because a lot of times, you know, when we look at our loved ones and they're getting drunk and they're getting high and they're getting doped up and, you know, they're involved in homosexuality or they're involved in all different types of sexual perversions, addicted to pornography, whatever, you name it, any type of sexual sin, anything that you see that's going on evil, and particularly those things that people can't stop themselves from, that's usually a demon. That person is generally demonized. There's some type of area where either in that person's generational bloodline or through sins that they've committed, they've opened the door for a demon to manifest itself in their lives. You know, and I'll be talking a little bit about this. You guys look for my newsletter tomorrow. I'm going to be talking about one of my family members who was an alcoholic and my first experience with deliverance. You know, I had the opportunity to cast out several demons, you know, out of this family member and the experience that I had. And that will be in my newsletter that will be coming out tomorrow. So if you want to receive my newsletter and you're not subscribed, you can go to my website at prophetkyle.com. And then there's a section on there in one of the tabs where I think it's called prophetic newsletter or something like that. You can click on that tab and you can subscribe to my newsletter and you can receive my newsletters because I'm going to be teaching on deliverance for the next month. I had a very, very vivid vision in which the Lord showed me that it was time for me to begin to start concentrating again on deliverance. And that vision since then has been confirmed through a lot of different instances. I went to a conference last week where Ron Ramirez was there. I don't know if you guys are familiar with Ron Ramirez, but Ron Ramirez is an evangelist who used to be a high priest, Satan worshiper, and he had a dramatic salvation experience where God delivered him, cleansed him, and saved him. And now the Lord has been using Ron to cleanse other people and deliver other people. And God began to confirm to me again after I had this prophetic vision. It was literally an open vision that I have. I'll talk more in detail about that later. But I literally had an open vision about a month ago, and one night I was sitting in my house. Actually, I was laying in my bed, but I wasn't asleep. And the Lord gave me an open vision. And in the vision, the Lord showed me dealing with evil. And the Lord began to remind me the next morning. I looked up the vision. I looked up the symbolism to find out what it meant. And God led me to a scripture in Job. You know, the scripture in Job where it talks about how, you know, the Lord will shake the wickedness out of the morning. And God showed me that scripture, and then he began to confirm to me that he had given me an anointing to shake wickedness and to shake wickedness off of people and deliver people from, you know, demonic spirits. And so I go to this conference, and the Lord is confirming this. And then immediately when I got home from the conference, one of my precious partners called me, and as I began to pray with her, demons began to manifest, and she got set free. She got set free from the power of Satan. And so the Lord has been confirming that it's time for me to begin to start concentrating on deliverance again, because you know, there's not a lot of people that are teaching on this now. You know, and a great man of God, Derek Prince, who was known a lot for his teaching and deliverance, He's passed on, and he's gone on to be with the Lord. And there are people here and there that are teaching on deliverance. But, you know, for the most part, deliverance is a very it's not a very popular ministry. You know, it's very controversial. You know, it's not very popular. But that's okay. I'm willing to walk the road and take the road less traveled to obey my Lord Jesus and to do what he's called me to do. And that is to set captives free and deliver people from out of the hands of the enemy. Amen. So we also see that as far as deliverance is concerned, that many times when we look at areas of healing, these healings were associated with deliverance. You know, that when people were healed, it wasn't just that they were being healed, but God was also delivering them from the power of evil. And so I want to look at another scripture in Luke chapter 4. Luke chapter 4, and if you guys will give me just a little time, I'm going to turn there, and we're going to go through these scriptures. I think it's in Luke 4, starting at verse 40. Luke 4 and 40. Luke 4 and 40. Okay, and it says this. It says, "Now at the setting of the sun, indicating the end of the Sabbath, all those who had any who were sick with various diseases brought them to him." To him, that's Jesus. "And he," that's Jesus, "laid his hands upon each one of them and cured them. And demons even came out of many people, screaming and crying out, 'You are the Son of God.' But he rebuked them and would not permit them to speak, because they knew that he was the Christ, the Messiah." And so we see in a model that oftentimes, you know, Jesus did not allow the demons to speak unless it was an issue where he asked them something. You know, otherwise, Jesus didn't have conversations with demons. I know, you know, some people, they do deliverance, and, you know, they talk to the demons, and, hey, you know, I'm not going to criticize, but I will say this, you know, I'm not in any, let me put it this way, I'm not trying to improve on the ministry of Jesus. Amen. I think Jesus did very well. Scripture says that after he pleased the Father, he went back to be seated at the right hand of the Father. I'm not in any race to try to improve upon the ministry of Jesus. You know, Jesus didn't allow the demons to talk to him unless he wanted to know something. You know, I think we should probably run our ministries, you know, the same way. I'm not trying to improve upon the ministry of Jesus. Okay, and so let's look at another scripture in Luke 13. Luke 13 and going to verse 31. Luke 13 and verse 31. And what am I doing? I'm just trying to show you that, you know, this whole ministry of deliverance you know, what started with Jesus, you know, and then Jesus goes on and gives us in the Great Commission, and he gives us the assignment for us to then now go and do what he did. So let's look in Luke 13, and we're going to start at verse 31. Luke 13 and 31. Okay. And at the very same hour, some Pharisees came up and said to him, "Go away from here, for Herod is determined to kill you." And Jesus said to them, "Go and tell that fox, sly and crafty, scullion and cowardly, behold, I drive out demons and perform healings today and tomorrow, and on the third day I complete my course. Nevertheless, I must continue on my way today and tomorrow and the day after that, for it would never do the prophet to be destroyed away from Jerusalem." I'm going to read that again in verse 32. And he said to them, "Go and tell that fox, that sly and crafty, scullion and cowardly, behold, I drive out demons to perform healings today and tomorrow, and on the third day I complete my course." And I think one translation, even the King James, it says that I cast out demons by the finger of God, you know. And so Jesus, as he was delivering people and casting out demons, he was manifesting and operating under the power and the authority of Jesus Christ. Amen? And so Jesus wants to set you free. Jesus wants to set you free. You know, are you having issues with the enemy? Do you find yourself, you know, with habits, compulsions that you can't stop? You know, it's like you just keep doing the same thing over and over again. You know, maybe you find yourself, you're addicted to pornography. You know, you don't want to do it. You repent. You ask the Lord, "Please forgive me." And then you look up and you're looking at pornography again. You know, maybe you're, you know, addicted. You know, maybe you have issues with masturbation, you know. Maybe you have alcohol, you have chemical dependency. Maybe you're hooked on painkillers, prescription drugs. Maybe you have dishonest personality tendencies. You find yourself cheating and lying. You know, this is my view, and I'm gonna talk a lot about this as we wrap up this session. I'm gonna talk a little bit more about this in future teachings. If there's anything that you want to stop doing, but by compulsion you can't stop doing, probably are demonized. If there's anything that, any sin that you commit, and then you find yourself continually committing it and repenting and committing and committing the sin and repenting, committing the sin and repenting, committing the sin and repenting, and you keep doing it over and over again, that probably means that you need deliverance. And, you know, this teaching is so important because I want you guys to understand something. You know, the scripture talks about how when we come into Christ, we become new creatures. Old things have passed away, all things become new. But what we haven't understood is that's talking about our spirit man. At the point that we receive Jesus, our Lord and Savior, our spirit man is instantly saved. That's the real us, the spirit man. The spirit man, the scripture says, that when we die, immediately goes to be with the Lord. And the scripture says, the spirit of man departs from the man and immediately goes to be with the Lord. So we know that when we die, if we receive Jesus, our Lord and Savior, our spirit man, it immediately goes to be with God. But we also have a mind, a will, and emotions. And our body, you know, and we know that those areas are not saved. Now, the scripture says it this way. It says, "Renew your mind by the washing of the water of the word." Well, if our minds were saved, then why would we have to continually renew them with the washing of the water of the word? Okay. And then we talk about our soul. You know, the soul is the mind, the will, and the emotion. The scripture talks about possess ye your soul. Or and then the scripture talks about, you know, the engrafted, you know, that we make sure that we partake of the engrafted word of God, because it's the engrafted word of God that is able to save our souls. Okay, well, you know, if Apostle Paul wrote Hebrews, or, you know, some theologians say Apostle Paul wrote Hebrews. A lot of people don't really know who wrote Hebrews. But regardless, whoever wrote Hebrews, they were writing Hebrews to Christians. So why would the writer of Hebrews be writing to Christians and telling them that they need the word of God to save their souls? That writer wasn't talking to non-believers. And so why would the writer of Hebrews be saying that we need to save our souls, or that our souls need to be saved, if he was talking, and he's talking to Christians, if our souls are already saved? So our souls, that's our mind, our will, and our emotions, are in a process of being. That's why the scripture says, you know, let the engrafted word become a part of you, which is able. It has the potential. It will save your soul. Okay. And then we know that our bodies are not saved, because the scripture says in Romans 12, it says, present your body as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. So if our bodies are saved, why would we have to present them to God as a living sacrifice? I mean, you know, just out of common sense, we know our bodies are not saved. Your body will do anything. Your body will go anywhere. Your body will eat anything. Your body will lay anywhere, lay with anybody anywhere. So we know that our bodies are not saved. So we know, so we see from the scripture that our mind, will, and emotions, they're not saved. And we know that our body is not saved. Our spirit man is saved, but our souls are going through a process of being saved. And then the scripture talks about in Thessalonians that when Jesus returns, that our bodies would then be saved, because the scripture says we will receive a glorified body. So right now, you know, through the redemptive work of Jesus Christ, what the Lord is in the process of doing is allowing man's spirit, soul, and body to be glorified and to be in the original state that it was when Adam and Eve were in the garden. See, when Adam and Eve were in the garden, the scripture says that they were clothed with God's glory. They were saved. And then when Adam and Eve committed high treason, ate of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, the tree that the Lord told them not to eat of, the scripture says that the glory departed from Adam and Eve. God cursed the ground and said, from the sweat of your brow, you know, you should till the land. So from that point, and then the scripture says that Adam and Eve, recognizing that they were naked, they went and got fig leaves to cover them. But prior to then, the glory of God actually covered Adam and Eve. Adam and Eve, they didn't know they were naked, that they didn't have clothes, because God's glory covered them. They had glorified bodies. And so we're in this process now of being redeemed and of being restored to our original state. But until then, the scripture says that we have to possess our souls, and that we have to present our bodies as living sacrifices. And so we're in this process of seeing our soul, which is the mind, the will, and emotions, and our bodies come into salvation, just as our spirit man, the part of us that scripture says that when we die, immediately goes to be with the Lord. That's why the scripture talks about, you remember the scripture says that the soul of man and the spirit of man are enmity with each other, that they war one another. And the reason why they war with each other is because the spirit man has been redeemed into the image of Christ Jesus, but the soul man is in the process of being redeemed. And the soul man, which is the carnal part of us, is in a continual state of attempting to be restored back to its original state as it was in the garden with Adam and Eve. Amen? Amen. Praise the Lord. So saying all that to say, the point I'm trying to make in that is, so when you see, you know, your cousin Pookie and he's on drugs and he can't get off of drugs, you know, and then you or your family members, you look at him and you say, well, you know, Pookie, you know, he could stop if he wanted to. No, he can't. He can't stop. Pookie can't stop taking drugs, because Pookie is a drug addict and Pookie is demonized. Pookie needs to be delivered, you know. or you get angry with your husband, you know. He I know he could stop looking at porn if he wanted to. He can't stop because he's demonized. Your husband needs deliverance. And I'll be talking a little bit more about that later, is that, you know, you can't get delivered from a demon unless you want to be. And you have to be desperate. You know, anytime you look at people in the scripture who got set free from the power of God, it's like I was talking about in the newsletter today, you know, telling you guys about the show tonight. And I was talking about how the Syrophoenician woman, she was a Greek woman, and she came to Jesus and she said, "Oh, Jesus, please set my daughter free. She's demonized." She had a daughter, and the young daughter was demonized. And, you know, Jesus spoke to the woman and said, "You know, woman, what have I to do to you? You know, why should I take the bread that has been for the children's bread, and give it to the dogs?" And the woman responded and said, "Yes, but even the crumbs fall from the master's table." She had a revelation, but the scripture says, you know, gives the impression that that woman was desperate. And because she was desperate and she had faith in knowing that Jesus could set her free, Jesus set her daughter free. And Jesus is going to set you free. And Jesus, and when you come into the revelation and knowledge and the understanding of this teaching, Jesus is going to set you free, and Jesus is going to set your family members free. Because when you begin to start understanding and realizing that many of the issues that you're going through, many of the issues that your family members are going through, you know, they can't stop. And the reason why they can't stop is because they need deliverance. They need to be delivered from the power of the enemy. They need to be delivered from the power of the enemy. So, y'all, I want you guys to stick with this teaching. I don't want you to get spooked out, you know, because the Bible talks about deliverance. I don't want you to get scared, you know. I don't want you to get scared or let the devil scare you. "Oh, if I listen to this, you know, the devil is going to get me." No, he's not. Knowledge is power. You know, and the scripture says it this way: the truth that we know and understand sets us free. You know, we preach that scripture with such passion and say, it's the truth that sets you free. Well, it's a little bit more than that. When you look and you break down the understanding of scripture, it's the truth that you know and that you understand that sets you free. That's why the scripture says in Proverbs, "With all thy getting, get understanding." You know, we have to get proper understanding. And the reason why people are bound by the enemy and the reason why they're bound by the power of Satan is because they need deliverance. They need to be set free from the power of the enemy. So I want you guys to stick with me, and I want you to hang with me these next few weeks as I teach these teachings. And those people, you know, your family members that you know need to be delivered, ask them to listen to the show. And if they can't listen to the show, email them the archive. You can go to the blogtalkradio.com/Prophet Kyle T. Miller. And you can download the archives. Email your family members the archives. Have them go through the prayers, because I'm going to be praying for people so that they can get set free from the power of the enemy. Amen? Amen. God bless you. So I'm going to open up the phone lines, and, you know, you may have questions. There may be questions that you want to ask, and so I'm going to open up the phone lines. And if you have questions or if you just need prayer for anything, I'd be happy to pray for you. I'm going to open up the phone lines now. All right, caller, your last four digits are 1987. This is Prophet
God bless
Kyle. You have any questions? God bless you.
I just got on. God bless you. How you doing tonight?
I'm well. How are you, woman of God?
I'm good. I'm well. I'm going to be on with the teaching. God bless you.
Good. Did you have any questions or anything?
Well, deliverance, I know I'm delivered from, you know, everything that I was going through in my life. You know, I was saved so,
praise
you know, a long
God.
Time. But praise God, I'm just
praise
here.
God.
Amen.
Amen. So hopefully you'll gain some tools, and then God can use you to deliver other people like he's delivered you.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
So So I look forward to visiting with you the next few weeks as we talk about deliverance.
Yes. Amen. God bless you.
Amen. God bless you, woman of God. Okay, next caller, you're 6938. You have any questions, comments, concerns?
Hey, Prophet Kyle, this is Becky. How are you?
Hey, Becky. Long time no talk to you. How are you?
I think it's ordained for me to hear this teaching because I haven't been able to catch you in a long time. So this is my first time on. So I said, well, Lord, I guess I need it.
Praise God, praise God. Well, I hope you know you'll be able to take some tools, some things that'll bless you and minister to you, and you know it'll be a blessing.
Yes, I think it will be.
Yeah. Did you have any questions? Do you have any questions?
No questions.
Okay. All righty. Well, it's good hearing your voice, and I look forward to talking to you soon.
Yes, thank you.
You're welcome. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Oh, and before I forget, I meant to tell everyone this. I will be in Houston this weekend. Let me give you some information. Actually, you can go to my website. ProphetKyle.com and go to the itinerary section, and there you'll find information on my itinerary for where I'll be for the next few weeks. And I'm going to give you some information because I will be in Houston this weekend. On Saturday at 9 a.m., I will be with Bishop Garrett in Houston, Texas. And if you'd like more information, you can call 832-435-0670. That's 832-435-0670. And he's having a prayer breakfast, and the theme of the prayer breakfast is Thy Will Be Done. And I'll be talking to intercessors and prophets and prophetic people on their purpose and following God's purpose so that we can receive His will on every situation. And then all of those people who attend the conference will receive prophetic ministry. So I think there's maybe about 10 seats left. It's filling up real quick, and it's a prayer breakfast, so you receive a full breakfast. And the registration is only like $40, so it's not very much. But all of the people who are there will be prophesied to, and then I'm going to lay hands on them. Me along with Bishop and other ministry staff will be laying hands on everyone so that their gifts can be activated. And then Sunday, I'll be in Houston again, and I will be at Temple Rebuilders Ministries, and that's 9019 Bellflower Street in Houston, Texas. Temple Rebuilders Ministries, 9019 Bellflower Street in Houston, Texas. And that phone number is 713-589-3290. So obviously that's a Sunday morning service, free of charge. You know, if by some reason you're not able to make Saturday's prayer breakfast, you can come to the ministry on Sunday. I'll be the guest speaker. And if you forget any of these times or dates or phone numbers, you can just go to my website, go to the itinerary section, and you'll see the information listed. And then in August, the last Sunday in August, I will be in Memphis, Tennessee. Well, actually, the Memphis area, South Haven. I'll be there in Memphis at the end of August. I'll be ministering in Memphis. So I'll have that date listed soon on my website, and I'll be reminding you about that. So if any of you guys live in the Memphis area, you can come visit with me as well. All righty. So much for that. Let me open up the phone lines again. All right, caller, your last four digits, 0012. Hello.
Hey, Prophet Kyle. Hello.
Hey, Rashonda.
How are you?
I'm well.
I had my phone on mute. I was like not expecting to get through.
Hey, well, you made it through.
I did, and this is such an on-time teaching right now because I have a nephew who's going through with the anger and the ADHD, and I was hoping that he would be awake so we could be on the call together, but I do have his mom here with me.
Okay. Well, I would say, you know, hopefully a mom, she can continue to listen. And I do believe that parents can stand in proxy for their children. How old is her son?
He's 7.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
She can stand in proxy, and then he can listen as well. And when we go through the prayers, we'll start going through prayers next week. We'll make sure that he gets ministered to.
Awesome.
Yeah. So I've had several experiences with ministering deliverance to children. We've had some good success. ADHD, anger. I've also seen kids get delivered from allergies. Most allergies. A lot of people don't realize this. Most allergies are demonic.
Mm-hmm.
Most allergies are demonic, and usually allergies are systemic to generational iniquities. And I've even found a lot of times if there's a generational iniquity of Freemasonry, once people deal with that spirit, they usually get set free of allergies. Not all allergies are connected to Freemasonry, but I have found that a lot of people who have generational bloodline activity of Freemasonry, that they have allergy issues, either allergy or heart issues.
It's so amazing that you say that because through my mom, I found out that my grandmother and my grandfather were in debt over the years, and my son and I, which I'm better now because I was sneezing a lot when I first came here, but my son, he's staying with his dad right now, and he came over to the house, and he's just been sneezing sniffing a lot lately.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
It's something in their oaths that they take, and they talk about the spirit in their oaths. If you study the Freemasonry, and one of the the spirit of man is pneuma, which is breathing.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of times people's breathing and stuff through the allergies and stuff is cursed. So we'll be teaching on that in the upcoming teachings. We'll make sure that you receive ministry in that area.
Awesome. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
I also tell you that I had read your article this morning about the healing and the soul wounds, and my nephew came in the room when I was reading it, and I read that prayer with him, and he was reciting it back to me, and he just, tears started coming to his eyes. We finished saying the prayer. Yeah. And so when we got done, he gave me a hug. So I can see that God is manifesting through him, but I'm just, just wanting him to be so healed and delivered totally from all of it. Yeah.
Praise God. That is a powerful testimony.
His eyes just started watering, and he, I said, you know what, just recite this after me. And he did it word for word. And when we got closer to the end, tears just started coming to his eyes. And we closed out the prayer, and I told him to give me a hug. And I was like, it's going to be okay. So, yeah.
Praise God. Glory to God.
Yeah.
Ooh, Lord.
God.
That's powerful. Praise God. Well, thank you so much for sharing that.
You're welcome. And just thank you, and I look forward to the teaching.
Amen. Hopefully I'll see you this weekend.
Yes. I'm hoping so. I'm trying to talk my sister into bringing. I'm trying to get there.
Okay, then. God, you just do a miracle in Jesus' name.
Yes,
you need to be there.
Jesus right.
Name. Amen.
In Jesus' name. Amen. All right.
So
well,
it
God
is,
bless
so.
God
bless
you. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. All right, everyone. Well, I love you guys so much. Make sure you continue to listen. Share this teaching with your friends. If you have anybody in your family, your friends or your family who need deliverance, they need to be listening to these teachings. Make sure that you share this with them. You can go to my blog, download the teaching, and email it. You know, email it to your family members. And then when you get the invitation for next week's show, Forward it to your family members, those people that you know that they need to be set free, they need to be delivered. Have them listen to it, because there are a lot of people who need to be set free and delivered, and they don't realize that what's holding them back is a demonic spirit. Amen. Well, I love you guys so much, and I look forward to visiting with you again next week on Beauty Fashions. Bye-bye.